Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. I'm your host, Nia Patrick, and I am the CEO and founder of Women's Wealth Institute, where I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs. Because when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. So let's dive right in. This episode is about paying yourself as a solopreneur, and it's a bit of a step-by-step guide to help you plan and run your compensation. So I want you to take that off, try to make sure there's no background noise. When you are running a business, you're the CEO. And as the CEO, since you're a one-person business, because that's what a solopreneur is, you wear every hat. You are admin, CFO, CFO, CMO. You're all the C's. You're the C-suite. You're ops. You're admin, maintenance, customer service, receptionist, and doorman if you have a brick and mortar. But as a CEO, compensation planning is non-negotiable. And it's not about what's left over. It's about intentional, structured, predictable pay that sustains your lifestyle, grows your business, but more importantly, protects your future. You've invested your time, energy, and money into creating something that generates revenue. And you started from zero. Do you know some people like, that's easy. Sustaining it is not easy. Starting is easy. Anybody can start a business. Sustaining a business that creates a lifestyle is a different kind of challenge. And if you're the ambitious, particularly as a one-person business owner, and you want to create a certain kind of lifestyle, only a business can give it to you because you determine pricing, you determine who you're going to market to, you determine how many products and services you really get to design your lifestyle. That's what Women's Wealth Institute is about supporting. But we handle the CFO side and help guide you in making sure that you're setting yourself up financially for success, which is why you have to do compensation planning. So why does compensation planning matter? Too many solopreneurs treat their paycheck as reactive. Revenue hits and then they transfer what they can. Your bills are paid first and then you grab the rest. And taxes, reserve, benefits, retirement, all the things that you normally would get when you are working for someone, now as a solopreneur, you have to provide through your revenue is often an afterthought. And this creates stress, inconsistency, and missed opportunities. So as a CEO, you get the privilege of designing the compensation system you want, just like a corporation designs one for their CEOs. And you deserve the very best. So the first thing you have to do, step one, and hopefully you're taking notes when you are listening to my podcast, because I do a lot of action-oriented things. It's not just rambling. Inside the discussion and the conversation, I am literally giving you the blueprint on how you do something. Even if you take that same thing and throw it into the same blueprint, you know, you get the information, throw it into ChatGPT, and it does the heavy lifting for you in your review. All right, that's your little magic tip number one. But okay, step one, determine owner pay. Owner pay is planned, not reactive. Decide your monthly salary if you are an S corp. Decide your draw if you are an LLC or sole prop. It makes a difference. And if you don't know what that means, salary or draw, and you're just like, I just been transferring money from my account and just taking what I need and just leaving the rest. Yeah, no. That's the old way of doing things. We boss up around here. we sit down with ourselves before we talk to our advisor, our accountant, right? And decide, how much do I really need? How much do I really want? And then find an equal medium. That monthly salary or draw is a percentage of revenue. And then you look at what your fixed minimum versus your variable is based on profit. Then you document it and you make it predictable. Two, your second step, allocate for benefits. CEO level compensation includes these basic benefits: paid time off, sick pay, health coverage if you are not covered by someone else's plan, retirement contributions. But along with that is training and development. You want to be able to pay yourself when you are going back to get additional skills, or you want to take time to learn a skill on your own. If you are learning about negotiate, and when we mean skills, we're not talking about marketing. We're talking about negotiation, leadership, executive education. You might want to learn about intellectual property, whatever that is, that falls under training and development. And you should give yourself time to be paid for training on the job. That's often overlooked. You want to have some type of disability insurance. Being a highly compensated employee in the business, key man insurance, it's what it's called. You might want to establish having a uniform allowance, meaning that you aren't wearing your latest designer wear. You have a shirt and maybe a pair of pants or a skirt that is now part of your uniform. If you are going to start promoting your business, then you get your shirt embroidered. Well, the company would provide that, not you as the owner. The company provides a uniform, and that's a benefit for you. You can't write off your wardrobe, but having a company uniform is a way to have a nice little benefit. What else is there that most people overlook? We said disability. Oh, unemployment insurance. You want something set aside so that if you can't work, and you know that, and you can, usually unemployment insurance, disability insurance are for salaried employees, but sticking some reserves, a portion of that into some type of CD for, or some type of short-term cash-based security that gives you instant liquidity so it earns a little interest is a form of insurance if you are disabled and unable to work. You can seek out plans if they have something similar, maybe in some business groups. That may offer something like that. But if they don't, because you're not salaried, you can't do unemployment and disability. But you certainly can put some money away and let it collect interest and then use that as part of your disability insurance and unemployment insurance, meaning that your income doesn't stop because you are not working. Your salary or your pay doesn't stop because you're not working, right? I think as one-person businesses become more popular, disability unemployment insurance might be readily available in a different form than it is for those who are employees. Now, It also, again, it depends on your structure. So you would definitely talk to your legal advisor and talk to your accountant. Maybe they know someone who can help you. Now, let me tell you what's not supposed to be included. Anything called prepaid legal? No, that's network marketing. That doesn't help you. That is a scheme. It's not a bad scheme. It's just not one you want in your business. You want to talk, go to network with accountants and lawyers who have their own solo practice, just like you, and they know something about setting up solo benefits, the pros, the cons, and absolutely, definitely, Women's Wealth Institute will position itself as a resource for you to eventually be able to reach out to those types of providers. It's one of our goals to look at the compensation structure of solopreneurs and make sure that the available advisors are there to help guide us, because we are a community. It's not just about me. It's not just about NIA. It's not just about Women's Wealth Institute. It is being the provider of resources to the community that Women's Wealth Institute will have the privilege to be a part of, and then have the privilege to earn the respect and trust of the community to make sure that the resources are vetted properly to help you make better decisions, right? Which is non-judgmental, meaning that it's not leaning towards one group or another, like women or minorities or vets, but that the resources are available for those who need more information and have a variety of professionals to choose from. So look forward to that. That's one of Women's Wealth Institute's goals, because I think it's very important. Okay, so I'm rambling on. Step three, tax planning. Set aside taxes before paying yourself. These are taxes for the business. Then there's federal, state, and self-employment taxes. Those are taxes that are related to the business that affect you and your compensation. Any sales tax, if applicable, and estimated quarterly tax payments. Payroll taxes. You don't do salary payroll taxes if you're the employee. When you take a draw, you do not pay taxes exactly the same. There's no payroll taxes because you don't do payroll. But if you consider yourself as an employee under the banner, you still have to pay federal, state, and self-employment taxes. Luckily, no matter if you are an S-Corp or you are an LLC, you're able to deduct 50% of the self-employment taxes. So that's a bonus for you. But tax planning helps you avoid surprises and ensures compliance. Working with a tax professional helps you if you are in the position, or you position your company again to be able to take advantage of resources that help you with this part, then you look at professionals who offer tax planning, right? And it'd be very nice if they were one-person businesses, because then they understand how tax planning affects the one-person business who doesn't have an employee. All right, step four, reserves and reinvestment. Paying yourself does not have to deplete business stability. You should maintain cash reserves for emergencies. And this is not your emergency fund. This is maintain cash reserves for emergencies within your business and for yourself. You put that again in some type of interest-bearing account, or you get yourself a bond. And this is not financial advice. It's just there's tools out there available for you to stash your money where it's not just sitting in a checking account. It should be an interest-bearing account. It could be in a CD. It could be in a money market account. It can be in a bond, something safe, something easy to cash out. That's what liquidity means. And you don't have to worry about paying taxes for withdrawing on an account. So if you're going to stick it in a check cashing account, then it's interest bearing and you can tap into it. Unlike a line of credit or a credit card or a mutual fund, like you got to pay taxes when you withdraw that and then you got to jump through hoops. No, you don't want to do that. So you have to consider how liquid is the reserves for you to tap into within a, and then we're looking at a 6 to 12 month window, not a 1 to 3 year window, a 6 to 12 month window within the year to cover you. Reinvest in growth strategically and separate owner compensation from operational needs. Your paycheck should not compromise your business. And I've always found it amazing. People just take their money, especially online. Like I always tell you, don't pay attention to everything about taxes and financial advice on the social media without doing a little bit of reading. Someone that tells you that you can get a no-doc loan. Ask the bank, can you get a no? Don't rely on it. You can take the information and just call up a bank. You should have a relationship with the banker because you can't call up Chime, Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all these fintech companies. You can't call them and ask them, hey, can I pay myself with a no loan doc? They have no idea what you're talking about. But if you go into Chase, Wells Fargo, your credit union, Navy Federal, Bank of America, Truist, any bank, and talk to a business banker, particularly a small business banker, not a wealth manager, a bank, small business banker, and say to you, I've been online. And, you know, they keep telling me I can get this no doc loan if I just form a company. Can you enlighten me on that? Is that true? Do you need it? They might ask you all these questions, but you know, I'm trying to make sure I'm talking to a source and not an influencer, right? So that's what I'm, a lot of things can compromise your business because you're paying attention to what's online. Ask a professional, right? I don't give professional financial advice. I don't give it that way. I'm a trusted advisor because of my experience. I'm a consultant, I'm an advisor, I can be a coach, but I don't sell securities. I don't have a security license. I don't sell investment advice. But I can tell you a Vanguard S&P 500 might be something that you'd like to consider when you're investing. Talk to a broker because they can tell you more about it. I can write about it, the pros and the cons. And at the end, my disclaimer is this is for informational purposes only. This is what I'm invested in. You need to talk to your professional advisor. I'm only providing information. There's a difference. All right, step 5, adjust regularly. You can't set it and forget it. Business is not like that. Your personal finance should not be like that. And it really isn't. You cancel subscriptions. You've taken stuff back to the store. You've bought new stuff in the house. You shop online. It's the same thing in your business. You can't set it and forget it. The only thing about personal finances, we set it and forget it in a sense of speaking. We won't necessarily always cancel our subscriptions when we really need to. Only when we are feeling a cash flow crunch are we really going to take a keen eye into our expenses and how we've been spending. In business, you have to do this as part of your daily practices and procedures. You should always be looking at your financial position. I wake up every morning and I look at my bank account. It's the first thing I do. I wake up, open my eyes, pick up my phone, open up my bank account. If it doesn't look like the way I want, I get my ass up out of bed and make sure I can keep moving towards how I want it to look like. Then I check my email. And then I kind of scroll through a little Google, catch up on the daily news because I don't watch television. I don't watch local news. Catch up on what's going on in the world. And then I write a little bit and then I go ahead about my day. But I always check my bank accounts first thing I do. I've done that ever since I can remember. And that's what wealthy, they check and see what's going on with their money. And if there's nothing in it, then they make sure that going out there making money so that there's something in it and they can check their progress. So review monthly, quarterly, and annually. I'd like to add weekly. You don't have to do my daily practice. That's just me. That's my little cushion. But I would say weekly, you should be doing some bookkeeping. You should be looking at your weekly expenses and jotting them down for your personal finance and for your business finance, so that you're able to just close your books at the end of the month. Now, if you're big, you can't do that. I understand. And if somebody does that for you, then that just might mean a weekly meeting. Hey, you know, your bookkeeper says, you know, you don't really talk to your bookkeeper until the end of the month when it's trying to close the books. But getting, scheduling a meeting with the person who works for you and saying every Friday from 9 to 10, we're going to have a weekly budget meeting. And she's like, well, that's going to cost you. Then you find someone that gives you what you need and say, as a part of my service package, do you have something where we do a weekly meeting for an hour or 30 minutes to do a review, see where I am, blah, 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 blah. Because remember when you worked for somebody, you had those stupid meetings every Tuesday. I know I was in a meeting every Tuesday with management. It was a manager meeting. And it was really a huge waste of my time. And it was a waste of my time because I wasn't learning anything. And I wasn't gaining any insight into what I do. I was getting more, all I heard were problems. And where everyone's using, we have this dashboard, or rather these metrics for students coming in, students enrolled, students leaving the program when I was a department chair. And one of the challenges was everybody wasn't sharing the same information, they were sharing information in a spreadsheet, but each one has a version. Each department chair, including management, had a different version of the spreadsheet that was supposed to capture the same information. There wasn't a standard spreadsheet to capture the information. And then each school, each campus, had its own version of the spreadsheet. So the numbers didn't always add up correctly. And that right there told me there was a problem in the process of how information was collected, analyzed, and discussed upon in these management meetings that left me confused. And I have an MBA in financial management and financial analysis was something that was part of my coursework. But analytics is something that you normally do in a finance program. You analyze data. That's what you really do. And you try to make some sense of it. But depending on who's entering the information and how the output is set up, can change the same numbers and make them look completely different. That was annoying. So you need to create what you need to see in your business and communicate that with the person who's helping you maintain your finances business-wise. That's why we say, that's why step 5, adjust regularly, review monthly, quarterly, and annually. And you, in terms of compensation, does your compensation meet personal and lifestyle needs? Does a business maintain stability? Are benefits and retirement contributions aligned with goals? So you adjust based on growth, not guesswork. That's why I say you can't afford to guess. You'll pay for it in the long run. Finally, step 6 is document everything. And that's your job. That's not your bookkeeper's job. That's not your admin assistant's job. That's your job as HR. A clear plan reduces stress and creates credibility. You have a written pay structure. You have a payroll schedule or a draw system. There are retirement and benefits allocations, and there's tax and reserve calculations. And this becomes your CEO blueprint. So this episode is just the start. You definitely want to, it gives you something to think about. I don't expect all my listeners to just immediately go out and implement this. 9 times out of 10, you're like, she's tripping. I don't even know where, how much money she thinks I'm bringing in, or I'm not, or I haven't made that yet. Like, oh my God, like there's so much more I have to do. I didn't even consider that. It's been crossing my mind, but I have no time to think about that. I'm trying to get this money. But I notice, again, I get the money and that the bills are due. So where do I find the time? And then I'm balancing family, this and the third. Or the flip side of that is, that's what the bookkeeper's for. That's why you hire HR, right? This is why the money goes for me to have someone do that. But they're going to do it their way. And then you're going to get mad because they're not doing it the way you want them to do. And this is where leadership, particularly financial leadership, takes over. This is your company. They are working for you. You tell them how you want things. It's their job to implement what it is based on what you require and what you require to see and what the output should look like. Now, how they implement that, they have the freedom to do that. That's how you have leadership. You are the strategist. You're the strategist in this case. And you say, well, here's this, 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 and this. Now, I need you to set all this up and let's have a meeting. And let's look at what you've done so far and maybe what resources, tools, providers, so I can make a, and give me a breakdown of three providers and let's see what the numbers look like. Put those projections together because here's my numbers. I need you to put this together and let's come up with a package. The goal for the package is within 90 days. And this way it gives you time to do research, set me up, blah, 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 blah. See, that's how that goes. But these are the outputs I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that's going to give me liquidity. And these are the three tools I need to use the liquidity for. Either it's going to be a money market, a CD, or we're going to put it into checking, interest bearing, then find me the best interest bearing account with very low fees. No, I'm not interested in a line of, you see what I'm saying? Not here's what it is and you can handle it, your HR. That's when people want everyone to be a leader and there's no direction and get mad when they don't do it correctly. Well, isn't that what I'm paying you for? Isn't that? No. You pay them to do the legwork because this is how AI is going to replace those who don't have leadership skills. I know you got to know what you want and know what you're trying to achieve. And AI does everything for me right now. To get a person in here to do something like that and they don't know how to apply that because they either want the control because they feel they're the expert or they won't take my recommendations because they won't feel that they're the expert and the professional. And I'm not usurping the professional. And I'm not saying the professional is an underling. I'm saying that they are part of your ecosystem to help you do things. And you're delegating, but you're delegating through a lens of leadership because you need a certain output. And that's your responsibility as a CEO. And if you can't delegate knowing what you want and then let people do what they do, and they're able to do it and surprise you, that's good leadership. And that's what you should aim to be. But you take responsibility and accountability for everything that you do in your business. Everybody else is the character. You're the main person. You're the main character. Everybody else is supporting actors. And if you don't have main character energy, you need to get some main character energy. And if you have main character energy, your personal financial life should be on point. And I don't mean on point meaning you're rich. On point meaning that you have no debt. On point means you pay off your credit cards every month. On point means you are managing the debt you do have. On point means that you do have some system set up in terms of how you handle your finances. You're getting the paycheck in. Some of it's going to paid in capital for your business. You're making sure that you're keeping your bills on time. I'm not saying you can't carry a balance. I'm saying that you understand that cash flow rules and that you're able to see inside other systems and work within them to make it work for you. and you can adjust. This is not about, oh, I have $1 million in the bank. No, this is, I know how to manage my money pretty decently. Yeah, I don't have a lease, but you say, yeah, I have a lease. That makes it easier for me. I don't want to deal with maintenance. You don't have to justify how you handle your finances. The only person you got to justify to that is the person in the mirror. Not to me, not to anybody. And if you're married or you're living with someone or you're co-sharing, whatever, you still have to be responsible and accountable for your life and the decisions you make. Here at Women's Wealth Institute, we support that. We encourage it. We coach through it, through products, through the podcast, through cocktails and conversations, online, on Facebook, social media, out in public. You're responsible for your life. Nobody else is. And no one's coming to save you. So this is a great time to just say, okay, let me put that on my calendar. If you do anything, let me put it on my calendar to explore what that might look like. That's at least taking action. And we're very action-oriented around here, which is why I did a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step process in this particular podcast. So in closing, your business is your paycheck. Treat it like one. Pay yourself first, plan your benefits, protect your future, lead with structure. Because as a CEO of your business, you what? You cannot afford to guess. All right, that's it for me. This is your host, Nia. I am the founder and CEO of Women's Wealth Institute, where I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs, where when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. I will see you on the next one.